The U.S. Supreme Court is set to rule on the affirmative action case Fisher versus the University of Texas this spring. However, before they hand down their ruling, the court will hear another affirmative action case out of Michigan, Schutte v. the Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action. And to discuss the case, we welcome George Washington, the lead attorney for the coalition. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Before we move forward and look to the Supreme Court's hearing in this case, let's just quickly review how we got to this point. In 2003, the Supreme Court upheld affirmative action as long as there were not quotas attached. That case involved the University of Michigan. Soon after that, Proposal 2 was passed here in Michigan. Remind us what Proposal 2 did and how did it alter the Supreme Court's 2003 decision?
Sure. Yeah, Proposal 2 passed in November 2006, and it is about 247 words long, but the real content of it is four words, which prohibits the state from, quote, granting preferential treatment to, close quote, persons on account of race, national origin, and so forth. What that has been meant for years is letting in black and Latino students who have lower average grades, points, and test scores than white students. And it essentially killed affirmative action, and it's driven down black and Latino enrollment at the University of Michigan by one-third to one-half, as it did, as the equivalent proposal did in California 14 years ago.
So make your case. Your coalition found this objectionable. You organized and you started taking legal action. Tell us about your action.
Well, basically, what's wrong with the proposal is that what it results in is admissions not by merit but by privilege, that it's just clear that the schools, the secondary and elementary schools in this state, are unequal by race. It's clear that the tests are unequal by race, partly because they reflect the unequal education and partly because they're geared towards a certain curriculum and a certain population. And the net result is that what we have is at the exact moment that the country is becoming majority-minority, we're going to have one-third to one-half less black, Latino, and Native American lawyers, doctors, and political leaders of all kinds than we did before. And that makes no sense. It means, you know, tens of thousands of students will have their dreams dashed, but it also means that the country will be evolving towards a new form of separate and unequal, and that just is both objectionable and untenable.
How did you interpret the passage by nearly 60% of Proposal 2 in Michigan?
Well, I think you need to look behind that. 9 out of 10 black voters in this state voted against Proposal 2. 2 out of every 3 white voters voted for it. And if there's any lesson we should take from our history, is that a majority white electorate cannot deprive racial minorities of the right to fight for the only means that their children can go to school. They couldn't do it in the South, and they can't do it in Michigan.
How do you respond to people who say, hey, this country has elected a black president for the first time? Isn't that significant? How do you respond to people who make that claim?
Well, it is significant. It shows some of the progress we've made. On the other hand, all you have to do is drive south of 8 Mile Road and look at the city of Detroit or Lansing or Flint or any of the other major black areas of the state, and you can see that we have a long way to go, that we haven't reached equality for really the overwhelming majority of the population. And we can't take that little bit of progress and say, okay, let's stop.
Respond to the Sixth Circuit of vote. That came down 8-7 overruling Michigan's law. What was that all about? What's your take on that?
Well, that was the case we won, and that's what got us to the Supreme Court. What they basically said is that any citizen of this state can go to the regents or the trustees or the governors and say, you know, we think your admission standards are unfair as to us, or that there are not enough of us there. And people do that. People who want, you know, special consideration for people who are poor, or people who are veterans, or people from rural areas, or athletes, or legacies, or whatever. And what they said is, if you do that, you cannot then say that racial minorities cannot go to the regents of the trustees and say, we want a special admissions program, that you can't single out and prevent, take away that political right of racial minorities when they're the ones who need special admission programs the most.
George, is it known how the makeup of Michigan universities changed between the implementation of Proposal 2 and today?
Yes, it is. Yeah, now the University of Michigan in particular publishes the figures. There's about a one-third to one-half drop. And in the medical school, it's about 60%. The dental school, it's about 80%. And then at Wayne State in particular, at the law school and the medical school, which used to be, the medical school used to produce more black doctors than any school outside of the HBUs in the South. And it has dropped absolutely dramatically, which will mean less health care in the cities over time.
It seems as if both sides' arguments are based on their definition of equality, yet both sides have come to such different understandings of what that means. In the context of affirmative action, what to you is equality?
Equal, it means equal opportunity. It means the right of persons to go to university, persons, well-qualified persons to go, despite that they've had unequal secondary schools, unequal elementary schools. And I just say, you know, it's always been the case that people who seek to deny equality in this country have attempted to clothe it in the language of the 14th Amendment. It was, for example, separate but equal, which was claimed to be, you know, in compliance with the 14th Amendment. And now we have this no preferences language, which basically means that we'll enforce grades and test scores rigidly against racial minorities, even though everybody realizes those are not fair or neutral criteria.
George Washington is the lead attorney for the Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action. Earlier this week, the Supreme Court announced they will hear the case of Schuette versus the Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action before ruling on the Abigail Fisher case. George Washington, thank you.
All right, very good. Thanks so much, okay?